pastor asked me to speak on servanthood tonight. And so to help you get a handle on it, we have a handout tonight that you can fill in some of the blanks.
I need to fill in the blanks.
Fill in the blanks, Pastor. You got a lot of blanks. Okay. And so to start with, can we just bow our heads while we're still getting the handout and just sort of put ourselves in a hearing mode? And I pray, God, that as we leave in a little bit, we can say it's really been good to be in the house of the Lord. We have sung praises to you. The team has led us right to your throne in worship. We fellowshiped. Now when we turn to your word, I pray you would find that special lodging in our heart. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're called to be servants is our topic tonight. I want to ask you, are you a slave? Are you a slave? And as you follow the handout, the word servant comes from the word what? Slave. And the Bible speaks of Paul saying, I am a servant, I am a slave of Christ. And I also find that the Bible speaks of Peter saying that, James saying that, Jude saying that, and John saying the same thing. So the question is, are there any slaves here? Any slaves? Well, put your name right there. I would like it to be said of, put your name in the blank, that you, John Henry, or whoever the case might be, am a slave of Christ. So after you've got your name there, I want you to answer this question. Is it well with my soul in salvation? 24/7. And if you are a Christian, you can put Y-E-S right there. Yes, you are. It is well with your soul, right? Because you're a Christian and you have been... You name the name of Jesus. But the second question is it well with my soul in servanthood? And I put no here for 24/7. If you put yes, you may leave. And we'll give you time to silently leave. We have no lefters. Okay, the word soul means, you want to write it in your handout, mind, will, and emotion. And so the question is, are we really mirroring Jesus? As we should do that. So read with me Romans 6:22, would you? Because we want to talk about a change in masters together. But now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. In other words, this is going to get you the return of something very special beside eternal life, which already started with you when you did become a Christian. It's going to give you sanctification because an allegiance has taken place. You have decided to follow not the world, but you've decided to follow Jesus, and you want to become a slave to him. And this is really, really hard. Sometimes you've seen pictures in the book or maybe on television or in the theater where a slave was branded, and he became, as a result of that brand on his body somewhere, he became the property of that person. How many of you have been baptized in any form or another? Okay, that was a branding, if you please, a branding of you to Jesus, because it was an outward sign of something that took place inside of you. So the question is, on your handout, are you a slave to Jesus? Now, it's easy to be a slave to the world. The world has a way of capturing us. We are bombarded with television. We're bombarded with all the news. We're bombarded with people. The world is just throwing its net over us, and it's so easy to find ourselves in a position where the world has thrown over us a net and just trying to pull us into captivity. But Jesus wants to get us out of that net some way. So it's easy to be a slave to the world, and our task is, on your handout, transferring of being a slave to the world to Jesus. the transferring of being a slave to the world to Jesus. So if one is a slave, then that one will do what the master says, right? Here's where we break the chain link on your handout. We break the chain link. We attempt, and with great success, to free ourselves from what the master Jesus says. Now, Jesus talked so often about, do this, disciples. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And throughout the Bible, he is telling us to do certain things. The question is, how close are we in some areas in serving Jesus? Just this morning, not on purpose, I was just reading in the Bible, and I read in Matthew 7:24, from the words of Jesus, and speaking to these people, he said, you cannot be a slave to two masters. You can't be a slave to two masters. Obviously, that's true. Because you're going to listen to one, or you're going to listen to another. You just cannot be at the same time. It's just like praising God. You cannot be in a position where you praise God and at the same time think of something negative. Because, well, if you're like me, I don't have a one-track mind. You just have to go the way you're going. And so the question is, how close are we in some areas? Now, I figured this out. We all have 168 hours in a week. We're supposed to have 168 hours in a week. Okay. 8 hours we sleep. I got a big question mark on that one. 8 hours we work. Question hours that way. This is daily, of course. And that would be great. 8 hours left in the 24-hour section. 8 hours to do what? Eat, bathe, take care of children, et cetera, et cetera. And I just want to know, my point is that there is time for God, the big IF, if we choose to take it. So first, two scriptures regarding servanthood. And read with me 1 Corinthians 7:22-24, would you? On the other hand, if you were free when Christ called you, you'll experience a delightful enslavement to God you would never have dreamed of. All of you, slave and free both, were once held hostage in a sinful society. Then a huge sum was paid out for your ransom. So please don't, out of the old habit, slip back into being or doing what everyone else tells you. Friends, stay where you were called to be. God is there. Hold the high ground with him at your side. So what jumps out at me is that phrase, a huge sum was paid out. What price in any monetary system, in any country of the world, could you put on a human being? Just no way. But when Jesus paid that price, that was the redemption, and that was the huge sum that was paid out for me and for you. The second scripture is this. Read with me Romans 6:18. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Now, when as far as skin is concerned, in days gone by, when somebody bought a slave, the earth suit that they lived in was their property. Today, in terms of Jesus, the real estate that Jesus has is you. In other words, I wish some way we could have this put on all of us. We are the property of Jesus. We are the property. We are the property. We must not hide the fact that we are. And the scripture that I heard you read was, you have been set free from sin, and you've become slaves to righteousness. Now, servanthood means, in your handout, to be of use, to stand by, and to assist. And the work of the pastor is, according to the word of God, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Did you say that? Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now look around. Do we have any saints with us? Sure we do. The world is full. The room is full of saints. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are too. We are saints. And this leads us to the second area. So four areas regarding servanthood. And I wrote, how useful are you to Jesus and his work? And how much of a slave are you to Jesus? Are you doing what the Master says? Now, not that I stayed up all night and counted it, but there are 1,050 commands just in the New Testament. So I guess I've broken 1,000 of them, maybe, but trying to work on 50. Anyway, out of all those commands, because, like I say, I go to bed at 10:30, we're just going to look at 4 of them tonight, okay? And the first stuff, they all start with a G, and that helped me out with Webster. First of all is go. And the word after that that starts with an E is evangelism. This is one of the commands. In fact, read with me Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the command of Jesus. And a month or so ago, you recall I passed out little pieces of paper for you to go in 4 directions, since you're a 4-square church, and invite somebody to church. I know all of you did that. But in case there was a person who did not do that, we do have some left on the table. As you leave, you want to pick up several and pass them out. They're invitations for Sunday on Saturday. Crazy. Sunday morning on Saturday night. That's what it says, and that's what we do. Okay, that's part of evangelism. It's going and tell. Now, I would not want to do this, but for some reason, a page got torn out of a Bible, and a true story, too. John chapter 3, you know where I'm going. Okay, so this guy is sitting on his porch. He's swinging back and forth. He's not a Christian. He doesn't go to church. He's down everything that we would be up for. And all of a sudden, he sees this dog coming down the street. And it just, dog says dog, too. But had something in his mouth. It was that page that I was telling you about. So the guy comes up, the dog comes up to the guy, and he drops it in front of this man. Now, I'm not pulling your leg because it is a true story. And so the guy picks it up as he witnessed this later in the church, where he went to. He picked it up, and he read that part, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for me. And as a result of reading that, this was, let's call it bulldog evangelism. And it worked. The guy got saved. He went to church, became a church worker. Now, you know, people, if a dog can do it, certainly you and I can do that too. Not only with a piece of paper, but by our praying, by our witnessing, by who we are, because we are the epistles that are being read by those people who are not here tonight and who are lost. So the first of the commands is just go for evangelism. The second is give. Give. And I'll ring a siren on that one, okay? Give. And the word that starts with a T would be tithe. Now read with me 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, did you know that in the Jewish temple, there were 2 chests as people would come in and they would give their offerings? But there were 2 chests. One chest was what they had to give. The other chest was what they could give. And Jesus is saying that, you know, if you give not with compulsion, then you're the person who is going to be blessed. Just a few weeks ago, Pastor Roger asked us to take up an offering for missions. So I opened my billfold, and I was just going to... Anyway, the point is, give from your heart. Give what your heart dictates, not what your mind says to do. So I opened my billfold, and there was a $10 bill and a $1 bill. Now, I did not want to part with that $10 bill, but giving a $1 bill didn't seem right. So it's not that I had to argue very long, because whatever you think of first is what you should do. And so I said, hasta la vista to my $10 bill, but I know that God accepted that, and I got the blessing because I gave it as a moment. I did give it cheerfully, but I had to stop. The point is that in that moment of deciding, in that split section of deciding, my heart said, do it. And if we did more from our heart than our mind, we would be a lot different, obviously. And then, of course, you know the standard scripture. Well, in the Old Testament, we're supposed to give the 10. In the New Testament, There is no exact passage that says give a tenth. It says give ALL, which sells what?
All.
Say it again.
All.
Should we pass the plate again, Pastor? Okay. It says robbing God, I don't change. He said, well, a man robbed God. You say, how can you rob me? And he says, in tithes and offerings. And I hate this next phrase. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you. Take that into America, because you are robbing me. And then he says, bring the whole tithe. That means, you know, the whole tithe, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And I love the next part. Test me in this. And many of you can raise your hand and say, yes, I have tested the Lord in this. You test me, and you see that if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much of blessing that you won't even have room enough to receive it. So I believe in tithing. Most of you do too. But the point is, we are to give, because that is one of those 10,050 commands. The third gift, that is it, the gift. The G stands for gifts. And then I put spiritual here. And it's not so much that he commanded it, but as you read with me the 1 Corinthians 12 scripture, you can see that it is for the common good, which is to be used, which is in a sense would be a command, would be servanthood. So read with me 1 Corinthians 12, 7 following. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between gifts, spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, on the first line, is given for the common good, for the body of Christ when we come together. And I do believe that each one of us, because I just heard you read it, now to each one. Are you at each? Okay, you're at each. And each one has got one of these spiritual gifts. Now, you well know that they come in different flavors. Some are more distinguishable than others. Some are more pronounced, and some are more hidden. But the fact is, you have one. And the one that I like best of all, if you could ask me that, you didn't ask me that.
Which one do you like best?
Well, now that you asked me, I would say the tongues and the interpretation of tongues. I just love this. And an example of that recently, this week, in other words, Nancy received some words from the Lord in tongues, and there was the interpretation given at the church on the church, the Ladies of the Rock meeting. And it is so cool when we, as we are in this church, are open to that manifestation. And the first time that ever happened in my former church, through me, which it hardly ever happens, I knew God was speaking. We were new into the things of the Spirit, and I knew I had to do it. And so I took the mic and I spoke in tongues. And it seemed like about an hour went by before somebody interpreted it. I was so afraid. But what I said to the congregation was this: people, I have a word from the Lord in tongues, and they're not used to this in church. But I said, I'm more afraid of God than I am of any of you. And so I spoke, and the interpretation did come. What I'm saying is, just to nail this, that God has given spiritual gifts to the church, and we need to exercise them as the Spirit leads. And some of these gifts are just like encouragement, which a lot of you can do, and you're gifted at it. Number four, with the G word, it's gratitude. And then that's that word thanksgiving. Gratitude. And the command, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, read it with me. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, this needs to be increased, Neil. Okay, I'm listening to you, Okay, this needs to be increased. We need to thank God more at the store, at the restaurant, on the street. And did you notice we're supposed to give thanks in what? Say that again. Oh, that doesn't mean like it sounds, does it? It does? No. Yes? No? Okay. It means all circumstances. This is not good, I don't think, for the natural man to want to do that. I don't know. I don't sleep very good at night. And last night, this smoke alarm in our house beeped, woke me up. I knew it was a fluke. Had to be. And so I'd get back to sleep. And I did get back to sleep, and all of a sudden it did that little thing, which meant the battery is getting bad. So Matthew's already getting up now at 5. So I decided that I had to kill this thing. So I got a chair, I sat on the chair, I took it out, and I gave it to Nancy, and I went back to bed. I got all covered up, I was so comfortable, and then it beeped again. Well, dumb me, I didn't take the battery out. That's why it was beeping in the other room. So I go to the other room, I get it, I take the battery out, and then I realize, you won't believe this, but it beeped without the battery. So at that point, I'm thinking about what I'm going to tell you tonight. In what circumstances? Oh, so I went downstairs. I got my box of batteries. I got that little battery out. I took it upstairs. I couldn't even get it in with great difficulty. But I remember in all circumstances, you know, I could have really lost it. Nancy could have been limping. But I remembered in all circumstances. So I smiled, didn't I, Nancy? Didn't I, Nancy? Yes, okay. And then I got back to bed, and I was smiling in bed, and I did get to sleep, and I got 15 more minutes, and then the chime went off. But the point is, in all circumstances, in the bad things, you know, it's so easy to thank God when you're getting 30 miles per gallon in your car, or when everything is going right. But when things aren't going right, that's when we need. Let me tell you about these guys. Things were not going right. They were walking through this field, and this bull started chasing them. And so this one guy said, pray, pray, pray. And he said, I don't pray in public. Okay. And he said, well, you pray. And he only knew one prayer. This is what he prayed. This is my dad prays. This prayer, for what we are about to receive, make us thankful. Okay, we do need to thank in every occurrence. And I put ouch in my notes here, because this is how we are going to be happy, by profiting from every occurrence that comes. So the conclusion is simply this. Servanthood is what Jesus, in your handout, is asking of each one of us. He is asking us servanthood, and he wants you to take seriously what I'm holding up here. You are the property of Jesus, if you have accepted him and asked him into your heart. So read with me the last scripture, would you? Colossians 3:22, following. Servants, do what they're told by your earthly master, and don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The solemn servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. Now, in years gone by, and even now in certain third world countries, the law gave the owner the power of punishment. But not living in a heathen culture as we do, or a slavery culture, that would be inexcusable to disobey, because it would be a penalty. But today, in the realm of Christianity, there's no visual penalty, and there's no adequate state of a punishment, so we think we can get by. But the recording angels are busily at work. So our master is in heaven, and he has laid upon us a great high calling to be his slave. And personally, I want to be more slave than I am now. And I trust God will use this message to motivate you into your slavery to him, as we bow and pray. God, it's so easy to do what we want to do, and when we want to do it, and how we do it. when we have a guidebook that very explicitly tells us what we are supposed to do. And since we do name the name of Jesus, and since we have been branded by baptism, I just pray that you would have things happen in our life in the days ahead that would cause us to remember, you know, we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Jesus. And to that end, God, I just pray you would bless us as we go from this place in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, may we? If you do want prayer and you didn't get prayer, we invite you to come as we have our benediction, and there, we'll be here praying for you just as long as you want the prayer. Remember, you're standing in God's presence right now. Jesus, I pray you're dismissing us with your love, that you would go before us, and you would protect us, and you would bless us, and make your face to shine upon us in a real special way, in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming this night.
Amen. Don't forget the prayers on the back.